This is Autoline After Hours with John McElroy and Gary Vasilash, episode 429 for July 27th of 2018, From Steam Cars to SEMA. Watch Autoline After Hours live at autoline.tv every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 p.m. Pacific. You can subscribe to this podcast for free by searching for Autoline in iTunes, Stitcher, or YouTube.
Autoline After Hours is brought to you by Bridgestone Tires, your journey, our passion, and by Lear, a global leader in automotive seating and electrical systems.
It's after hours time, Gary.
It is.
We get to do it again.
Mm-hmm. And I promised I wasn't going to do this last week, but...
But you're going to do it this week?
I'm going to do it this week.
Which is...
So what happened today, 20 years ago, and you may have been there, and maybe you have been there, and maybe you were there too. It was the 1998, the U.S. 500 at MIS... And that was when Adrian Fernandez crashed going into turn four, and those three people were killed.
Yeah, no, I
was
not
there.
The
I was US there.
US 500.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
that pretty much killed CART as an organizing series, and it killed that race.
You're absolutely right.
Yep.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, that was... Who wants to go to a sporting event where people get killed? Nobody wants to do that.
That's right.
I think that's what really hurt NASCAR when Dale Earnhardt got killed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, families don't want to bring their kids mm-hmm. to a sporting event
right.
where people get killed.
Yeah,
so.
Or large pieces of chassis come and fly in.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Well,
so, you know,
anyway, it was popular. I mean...
Yeah.
So next week I won't have a... On this day, maybe.
Okay. Nothing morbid, at least.
Yeah, something happier.
Okay, people are hearing other voices on the show. We got to explain who they are. We have Diane Phils Schneider. She is the executive director of the Concours d'Elegance of America at St. John's, which is taking place this weekend. And it's great to have you back on the show, Diane.
Thanks, John. Excited to be here.
And I can't wait to talk about what you've got going there. But we got to introduce our other guest here today. Back, John Warniak mm-hmm. from SEMA.
Mm-hmm.
Specialty Equipment Manufacturers Association. Did I get that?
Specialty Market.
Market. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. A long time ago, was it manufacturers?
A long time ago, it was actually the Speed Equipment
okay.
manufacturers. Now it's Specialty Equipment Marketing Association.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily just the market, but the market segments, and we'll talk about that.
Okay.
12 different really cool segments and where the industry is going.
Yeah. Well, look, we got a lot to talk about, but I think we ought to kick off the show as sort of a memorial to Sergio Marchionne.
Yeah.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
big loss for the industry.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was quite a surprise. I mean, it...
Shock.
It just came so quickly. And, you know, so over the weekend when the news started coming out and he, you know, being in a coma... in a hospital in Switzerland after shoulder surgery. I mean, you're wondering what could possibly have happened. But, you know, here's a man who came to this town and basically, you know, not only did he save Fiat, which had been in trouble when he took over in 2004, but, I mean, arguably he saved Chrysler.
Oh, he did.
Yes.
And when he came here in 2009. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you look at quarter after quarter, they did better and better and mm-hmm. better. And, you know, and you know, John, you ran into him on more than one occasion. And I mean, what a character he was. I mean, in a good way, a character.
Mm-hmm. No, I would totally agree with that. I mean, he was, unlike most corporate executives, you know, always with his rumpled sweaters mm-hmm. and, you know, sort of rumpled hair and everything like that. Whereas so many top execs are, you know, perfectly coiffed,
yep.
perfectly
mm-hmm. yeah.
dressed, hard creases on. Sergio was the opposite of that. And what was so interesting to me, too, is, I mean, here's a kid from Windsor, essentially, mm-hmm. right?
An accountant.
You know?
Yes, by trade, right?
Well, an accountant, but yeah. remember, he also studied philosophy and law.
Right.
And I think
mm-hmm.
it's those two things that really set him apart mm-hmm. as a thinker mm-hmm. in the industry, mm-hmm. especially mm-hmm. the philosophy part of it.
Yeah.
So John Elkann, who's the chairman of FCA and Exor, who was... Sergio's big boss, and who's the big boss of the organization, he wrote a little tribute, and I thought that these two lines are just summation perfectly. He taught us to think differently and to have the courage to change, often in unconventional ways, always acting with a sense of responsibility for the companies and their people. He taught us that the only question that's worth asking oneself at the end of every day is whether we have been able to change something for the better, whether we have been able to make a difference. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just like, what a tribute to, to come out.
And he wasn't afraid to take chances. I call it kind of the no fear attitude. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to jump off the cliff and build wings on the way down. He didn't necessarily have it all figured out. He had it pretty well in his mind, his vision. He articulated that very well. And, you know, leaders today like Sergio, they're comfortable with ambiguity, to a degree of ambiguity. But, you know, maybe shareholders aren't. Maybe Wall Street isn't. But you got to have a leader like that to take that chance. Yeah, and I think he got that transformational culture instilled at Chrysler with people like Ralph Gilles and others that, hey, we'll take that chance. Mm-hmm. We'll, you know, if it doesn't work, we'll fail fast, and get on to success.
Right. I mean, and you know, John, we've talked about, like, the Dart, which was a pretty good car, but as we also talked about at the time, it had a bad launch, right?
Yeah.
And so it never really...
Never caught on.
Caught on.
Right.
And Sergio killed it.
Right.
And what executive at an auto company would say, we're going to kill a vehicle, versus they'd say, we spent a lot for that tooling. We've got to pay that off.
Yeah,
you know, so maybe we'll make a special edition and we'll put some stripes on it, or we're going to have a, you know, I mean, it was
that
just,
makes
you,
us they fast.
Would just, yeah, they would just do things like that. I mean, or the Chrysler 200. Again, I mean, when it came out, its second generation, I mean, it was a good car.
Good looking car.
Good looking car. You know, interior design was really well done. And, you know, and Sergio just saw, you know, we're not going to beat Camry, we're not going to beat Accord, so let's just get rid of it.
Get rid of it, right. And to your point, who would do that after you've paid all this money in the tooling?
Yeah, no one.
Yep.
So, and you know, so now we've got Mike Manley, who had been running Jeep for many years, and then they gave him the job to run Ram, taking over for Sergio. And so you got to wonder, I mean, is this going to be a situation... Mark Fields replacing Alan Mulally? I mean, is he going to be one of those scenarios where Alan was such a good executive and did such good things for that company that, you know, Mark could have, like, flown around, you know, without wings, and he still wouldn't have made it as good as Alan?
It's a good question. And, you know, we just got all the financial reports from the Detroit 3, you know, GM, Ford, and FCA. And their numbers are all down.
Right.
You know, they're facing headwinds. Right. You know, steel prices, aluminum prices are going up.
Tariffs.
There's this question about tariffs and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So, that could instantly make Mike Manley not look as good as Sergio, even though Mike might not have anything to do with the problem.
Consequences of what's happening.
Outside influence.
I like Mike a lot, and I've got a lot of confidence in him. I think he's going to do very well for the company. I think his real challenge is going to be on the Wall Street side. Mm-hmm. You know, and as FCA looks to work with other partners, you know, more like Waymo and the like, or if someone shows up to buy the company, could he... Mike Manley negotiate as good of a deal as Sergio might have.
Mm-hmm. Although, you know, one thing we learned about Sergio was that basically he was a micromanager who was involved in everything. And I have a sense that Mike Manley is a guy who would delegate more. So when it would come to negotiations, it would probably, he'd go to the extent that he knew what he was doing, and then he'd call in the professionals, so I wouldn't worry about it.
Well, maybe the metric is how many cell phones does Mike have versus what Sergio has.
Yeah. Yeah.
And who's at the opposite end of those real fast.
Okay. Yeah. For those who don't know, Sergio carried four phones on him, one for Europe, one for North America, one for South America, one for Asia, just so he could keep those business units kind of separate.
But he'd ring, I'd be looking all over. You better have your own ringtone on that one.
That's right.
Well, this is going to be the macabre show in some ways because, I mean, we got to give tribute to Chris Svensson, whom we had on the show, the guy who was responsible for the design of the GT40. His car will be at the Concours, as I see.
It will be. His wife, Sonia, is bringing the car. His two daughters, Anna and Ella, are coming as a tribute to him. So that was one of his requests.
Yeah. And,
and we will do something at Cars and Coffee as well on Saturday morning.
That's great.
We have a lot of guys coming and gals with GTs, so I think we're going to have an engine rev or something to salute him.
Yeah. You were saying before the show, not a moment of silence.
Oh, no. I don't
moment
think he'd want
roar.
To notice. Why would he want? Exactly.
Yeah.
Why would he want a moment of silence? You know,
Here we got a picture of him up.
Yeah.
So,
what a great guy.
58 years old, right?
I mean, so I think he was even younger than that, maybe 53. Yeah.
53.
So we had him on the show just before he was leaving the following day to drive his restored Mustang to the New York Auto Show because it was the 50th anniversary of Mustang.
Right.
And the funny thing was that, you know, it was he and
Farley,
Maury Callum.
Who
is the head of Ford Design. And the funniest thing was in New York, I had the opportunity to talk to those guys, and they were just like all, you know, because they went through Canada and got into a snowstorm, and they had to keep stopping because the windshield wipers weren't keeping up with the snow, and they didn't realize how bad the suspension was and how their backs were aching. And
it was a freshly restored car that they drove, you know. Most people would trailer it, but nope, they took a road
trip.
They had
to drive it. But
what a great story.
He was a great guy, and we're going to miss him. And then last but not least, we lost a journalistic colleague today, Warren Brown.
I just saw that online.
Oh, yeah. And so he was the
Washington
Post car reviewer in 70. But... So, tell us about the Concours.
All right. We don't have anything morbid this year. Thanks for that segue there, Gary.
Although a few years ago, you had the history of hearses.
Hearses, we did. Right.
That was
fascinating. And people still talk about it. They loved it. We had Joe Prey from Charlotte, who owns a funeral home, took his on the motoring tour, which was cool.
Wow.
For the Ford Test Track.
18th century horse-drawn hearses.
Yes, early hearses.
So not your first time by, your last time ride.
That's right.
That's right.
Which you may not be aware of what you are in.
No, but we do have 28 other cars of classes this year. We don't have hearses, but
where and when? First of all, let's establish place because we have people all over the world watching this show. And
it starts on Friday. We have 15 events in 3 days at the Inn at St. John's in Plymouth, Michigan.
So this weekend.
This weekend coming up, exactly. That's why I'm here, but my team's over there working on this.
So how big is this thing?
It's big. We, on Sunday is the actual Concours. And last year, it's our 40th year this year. Last year we set a record for the largest attendance in our history with over 15,000 people.
Excellent.
So and our ancillary events have grown tremendously. We had 1,200 cars at our Cars and Coffee last year.
Wow.
And this year on Facebook, it's frightening because there's 2,900 people that said they're interested or they're going.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of good and bad, you know, where we're going to park them. But we have a lot of events. We have Battle of the Brands Friday night where enthusiasts bring their cars and park by car mark. And usually Porsche wins with the most. We have a band and lots of fun out in the parking lot. In the morning, Cars and Coffee on Saturday. We have a seminar with the legend of Porsche racing, Hurley Haywood, Vic Alfred, and Brian Redmond.
Wow, that is...
the triple header.
Yeah, you got the icon.
Porsche.
So, and that's going to be phenomenal. Haggerty has a seminar with Wayne Carini, who is still beloved by the enthusiast community. You know, we get calls every week, is Wayne Carini coming? So that's fun. In the afternoon, GM at 1:30 has a seminar. Michael Simcoe will lead a seminar.
Head of design at GM.
Yeah, head of design at GM. He has a seminar on the Firebirds, the three Firebirds, the turbine fire cars. So we'll actually...
The concept cars from the 1950s. We're
not talking
about...
1958. No, not the ones with the... Trans Am with the
Jim T-tops.
No. Yeah, these are not the T-top Firebirds. No, these are the 1958 later.
The jet age.
And we will roll one out of the Grand Ballroom, and they will fire it afterward.
With its gas turbine engine.
With a gas turbine engine, So that whistle is so distinct, you know.
Yeah.
Sounds like a jet.
In fact, wasn't one of them conceived as an autonomous car?
Yes.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, no driving. And actually, there was a catchy song that they sang in it that caught on for that era of they actually call into a tower to say, ask, like, what restaurant was open, what hotels are available while they're driving on the road in 1958.
Yeah, because the concept of autonomy then was you still would need a control tower to control traffic.
Yeah. They didn't call it OnStar or anything back then.
Yeah.
Whatever it would have been, but control the tower, tower to Firebird 3, whatever it was. And
We have a charitable side, too, because we're a 501c3. On Friday night, we have our Motor City Mingle, which is our kickoff dinner. It's to benefit JDRF.
Mm-hmm.
Our beloved Gene Jennings will be one of the master of ceremonies, along with myself, and we'll raise some money for juvenile diabetes, so that's fun.
That's great.
We'll be honoring our founding fathers. You know, 40 years ago, some guys sat around like this and said, we ought to have a car show over at Meadowbrook Hall.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to honor Don Summer, who was kind of the spearhead of that, Del DeRice, who worked for AMC at the time. Mm. Dave Holes, you all remember Dave Holes, GM Design, right, who did some great work. Jim Quinlan was one of those guys. Otto Rosenbusch, who worked for FCA, and now you know his son, Brant, who is leading the charge over at the, you know, their new vault they're doing at Jefferson and Connor. So, you know, most of those guys aren't with us anymore, so it's great to pay tribute to the guys who are.
And it continues on because of the life and that legacy being recreated each year like that.
And then Doris Jills, her project, Beautiful Inside and Out charity, we'll have a lunch for them on Saturday. And that's open to the public. Most of these events are open to the public to attend. You can purchase tickets. So we raised quite a bit of money last year for Doris's charity. Saturday night, we have a chairman's dinner that about 100 people attend. That's a nice dinner. But the big event is on Sunday, where we'll have 300 cars on the show field that are invited from around the world.
Now, what sort of special things do you have? You know, we mentioned the hearses before in the past. One of my all-time favorites of any concours I've ever been to in my life was Indy Racers. And you had them lined up as if it was a qualifying grid, and it started out from like 1911 on the front row, and as you move back in the field, the cars got more and more modern all the way to the present day.
That was mine as well, because I'm a big Miller fan. If I could have a two-man Miller car, it would be my car. Yeah,
right.
That's
my
dream car.
So this year, do you have any sort of special thing?
We do. We're honoring Sam and Emily Mann as our collectors of the year, and they hail from New Jersey, so they'll bring five cars that have been Pebble Beach winners. They've won around the world with these cars. One of them is Walter P. Chrysler's car, 1931, I believe. That's a historic car. So they've, especially for this area, but their cars are all beautiful. Mark Royce, our enthusiast of the year. How many cars is he bringing, Gary?
Well, this list.
Dr. Data has
this list is. I got to read this list. He's going to bring a 59 Corvette, a 68 Corvette, an 87 Buick GNX.
Oh,
that's so like a SEMA car.
SEMA, That's
very SEMA. He's going to have a 62 Corvette, a 63 Corvette, another 63 Corvette, a 59, and these are concept cars. The CERV,
CERV,
the research vehicle.
So he's going to have the CER1, the CER2, and the CER3.
Well, these are the cars that Diane was talking about, right?
Right. And
those are CERVs are the jet age cars.
No, those are the Firebirds. These are totally different.
So this is
Firebirds and CERV and CERVs were basically safety research.
Yeah. And they're from 1959, 64, and 90.
God, got a good memory.
Two and three.
He's going to have an 18 Bolt.
Well, because part of it is taking that electric vehicle and turning it into an autonomous car, that charge that they gave the universities to do that.
Yep.
Okay.
And then Kettering University is partnering as well with our Concours, and we'll have their Bolt, that they're one of those universities that are doing that.
And this maybe I'm making news here by reading this. He's going to have a 2019 Cruise AV.
Got to come to the Concours to see that.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's also going to have a 19 Camaro Corvette and a 18 Camaro. So Mark's got a lot of cars. You're gonna have steam cars there.
14. We do have steam cars.
Mm-hmm. How cool is that?
Well, and that shows you the progression of the technology. What a better place to showcase it than the whole lineage of what makes cars cool.
From steam to autonomy.
Absolutely.
And we're Detroit, so we love hot rods, we love drag racing, we love Woodward. So we have a salute to the Logie chassis cars in our drag racing class. So that'll be a lot of fun. We're going to do a cackle fest with some of those cars.
So explain a cackle fest for those who don't know what that is.
We fire them up.
Those drag motors cackle.
We let those engines go.
It's a tribute. It's music to ears.
It is. For those of us that love that kind of sound, it's great. So we'll do one Ford, one GM, and one Chrysler car or Dodge. But we have a unique car. We have a Buick on the field as well, and that's the only Logie chassis Buick there was. So that's cool. Yeah. We have something for every automotive enthusiast, 28 classes of cars. Bugatti is one of our featured marks. Keith Crane will have his 39 Bugatti there. He's being honored as our distinguished judge. He has judged every Concours in our 39 years of existence. So,
Is this his Bugatti?
It is.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, look at that. That's a beauty shot there.
No kidding.
Wow. And as you probably know, Keith is the chairman of the board of trustees at College for Creative Studies. Mm-hmm. So that photograph was taken at College for Creative mm-hmm. Studies on our media preview day on July 11th. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons we had our preview there is we held a contest for the students at CCS to come up with a piece of poster mm-hmm. art. And we said, we are featuring or we're celebrating the 70th anniversary of Porsche. So use your imagination, use your creativity, mm-hmm. and give us a piece of art. And it was difficult to choose. We whittled it down to 12, then we whittled it down to 3. And the winner was David Pickla from Rochester Hills, mm-hmm. and nice young man who just graduated. He's got an awesome Ford Raptor truck, but he started his career a week ago at GM Design, uh-huh. in interior design. So, mm-hmm. and John has that poster here today.
Oh,
but
let's see. Let's show that.
So in addition to the other guy, which we'll talk about. But in addition to this poster.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's got the Martino dollars. Yeah.
So this car, unbeknownst to David, who did the art, this 917, number 22, will be on our show field. And that's a car that belongs to the Porsche Museum. Yeah. So PCNA brought it over.
Well, the 917 is
it's your
one
favorite.
Of the absolute iconic Porsche race car.
Absolutely.
Maybe the most iconic. Oh, yeah. At least for
it
people
is.
Our age.
Yeah. And that livery, that color scheme goes back.
Oh, way back. Yeah,
60s.
That's very famous.
Late 50s. Yeah,
yeah, so he was thrilled when he found out that car would actually be at the Concours. So in addition to winning a cash prize for this and having their art featured, these three young artists have been invited to be judges on our Concours field on Sunday.
And I mentioned there's two. Look, there's a picture of the 917.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Just absolute classic.
Yep, that's gorgeous.
John mentioned that I just happened to dress like that today.
Not only that, remember it was Ferdinand Piëch, I believe, that was
really?
The guy who was the engineer of that car. And so who later went on to run the whole shebang at Volkswagen.
I didn't realize that.
Well, let's show, explain this other poster. What do I have here that I'm holding up?
This is celebrating our 40th Concours, and this art was done by Steve Pastiner.
Now, I know who Steve is, but for the audience, again.
You explain who Steve is.
Well, Steve is one of the all-time classic car experts in this area.
Exactly.
And it goes beyond this area, but he lives here. And former designer himself. Well, I shouldn't say former. The guy still designs.
Designing. He is. Yeah. And he said, Diane, I am not an artist. He said, but I will do this, and I'm excited to do it. So he did a tremendous job. And this is Sam and Emily Mann's car that they're bringing to the Concours.
So this car
will be there.
The Delahaye, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so you'll have to come and see the Delahaye on the field.
In fact, I think we've got some more pictures of cars. Carmen, why don't you just start bringing up some pictures? I hope I haven't put them on the spot.
It's a real wide variety of classes. You know, we have to have something that appeals to the youth.
Oh, and so this is the
that's
picture.
That's the car.
Oh, that's the car, the Delahaye.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's Delage and Delahaye, so they have a couple of each. The swoopy French cars that I just love from the 30s.
Right.
And their cars are stunning. There's not a bad one in the
so
bunch.
How does someone get their car to be considered to be able to participate in this?
Some cars are invited based on our car selection committee going to other shows and seeing them or knowing what restorers are working on. Mm-hmm. But most people nominate their car to be invited, mm-hmm. and that nomination process starts in November for next year.
Let's bring that red one back up. What is that?
That is a Bosley. It's an Italian car. That's a 1966.
Great shape and form.
Look at the design. Look at the front of it. It looks.
Is that like a swan or something?
It's
in the
pelican.
It's a pelican,
right?
Wow.
Right. So you have to come out and read the story of the Bosley.
I'm
going
to have to
unique.
Because I've never seen that car, not even in pictures that
it's
I've
It's a neat
heard.
Story. I won't go through the whole thing, but that's one of the catchiest, most unusual cars on our field, I think. Mm-hmm. Like we have the top 10 cars you should see, and that's one of them. We're featuring Rolston body cars this year, so we have, you know, Duesenbergs, and you know their coach work was amazing.
Okay, here's something a little bit more contemporary.
And you know, we have to have cars that appeal to younger enthusiasts, so they'll come to events like this and they'll get to love this car hobby and carry it on. So this is Lauren Mendelson's 2018 Ferrari Lusso. Mm-hmm. So it's a beautiful car.
Yeah, they're hardcore for tifosi.
Yeah, and Lauren is, you know, a huge enthusiast, so She always has something great to bring.
Yeah, and you're right, a celebration of the car for all ages.
Exactly.
That's what makes it so cool.
Like from the steam cars to that kind of car.
And you can have motorcycles.
We do have motorcycles.
Oh, yeah, you do have that section in there. Yeah.
And we started out with, like, American Fours, but now Randy Hayward, I don't know if you've ever met him, but he's a local guy that brings his bikes to Autorama. He just went out and did Race of the Gentlemen out in New Jersey with his bikes. He's put a phenomenal group of motorcycles together from all over the country. So we do have motorcycles.
Yeah, they go hand in hand, two or four wheel. I mean, that enthusiast culture is so cool. And all the iconic people that are around that, the heroes and the celebrities.
Yeah, a lot of people have both. They have cars, they have bikes, they have trucks, they have all kinds of things. So, you know, we have a group of cars called Modern Collectibles, and those are like the Nissan Skyline GTR. You know, things that kids had, you know, a poster of that in their bedroom in the 70s. You know, they said, wow, that's a cool car. I want that car. But who would ever think that would be at a Concours?
Yeah.
You know, and we...
Just give it time.
Yeah, we have to think about that. Every decade, you have to look back another decade and invite that decade in. And that's kind of a hard pill for some of these guys to swallow.
Here we got one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. See?
Right-hand steer. So this is authentic.
That's really rare for, you know, to have in this area. So, but for some of the, you know, the die-hard, you know, Concours enthusiasts, they go, wow, why is that car even
it's
here?
It's too new.
Yeah, or too,
too contemporary.
Right. They remember seeing him on the road.
Into not American or two, but I said you have French cars, you have cars from all countries.
Absolutely.
So, it's pretty interesting.
Credit to Nissan, they've actually got two in that category, and they're the only company that does.
See?
The other one is the 300ZX.
See?
Was that Skyline actually a Nissan or a Datsun?
That's a Nissan.
Nissan.
Mm-hmm.
In Japan, it was Nissan, I think, at the time.
And here it came over and was Datsun, I think.
Datsun, right.
Was it that true, Gary?
1970, it would have been a Datsun,
Oh, that was the Datsun Saves era.
Yeah.
Show the quart of gasoline.
You got a good memory.
Yeah, I remember the commercial. That's a building off of Jesus Saves, they said.
Yeah,
Datsun Saves. They had the quart of gasoline and a wine decanter there. It saves.
There's some guys that are driving some Faso Vegas from Indiana, which is a pretty cool story. You know, they're not, most people trailer their car to a Concours unless they're real close by. But these guys are driving these cars from Indiana. So
see,
that's
like
a neat
that.
Story. So do I. I love it.
I like that a lot.
Sure. Why not? Cars are meant to be driven.
Right. So, I mean, you know, like Ford's coup when they won the Baja 1000 with the new Raptor, original Raptor that came out, and then they drove it home back to Dearborn.
No kidding.
That's pretty cool. That's a statement that a lot of people remember.
So how do you find the cars in the Gaslight category?
There's a whole, we have car selection committee members that each have a certain class of cars, so they're familiar with that class, and they seek out the best examples of those cars in those classes.
So they're going to have a 1909 Sears motor buggy.
Whoa.
From Sears.
Yeah, you could order it through the
Sears
catalog. Book. You actually ordered it.
Can you imagine
out of the
that?
Catalog.
The car from Sears?
Yeah. Yeah.
A 1912 Havers?
And I don't, I've never seen a Havers.
I don't, I've never heard,
I've never heard of a Havers.
That sounds like agricultural.
A Pope Hartford?
Those are high horsepower cars.
Well,
those
Pope's,
are great.
No, but Pope
Hartford.
I can't say that I've
heard
that.
They're high power horsepower. High horsepower cars. They're great touring cars, even in today's age.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
1911 Thomas Flyer.
Wow. Very nice car.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should see that car.
I think of it
really
Thomas
beautiful.
As being buses.
Bus.
But no, it's beautiful. It's a real tall car. It's really beautiful. A lot of brass in that group. A lot of shining, a lot of polishing.
Hey, look, we got to take a quick commercial break. Why don't we do that? We got a lot more to talk about, especially got to get into the stuff that you're working on, John.
I'd love to.
But let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Lear Kinexis offers a parental controls application with geofencing that sends notifications regarding driving behavior and location, including curfew alerts, acceleration alerts, and speed alerts. All delivered to a smartphone application that includes vehicle location, driver notifications, and a report card of driving history, including notifications when predefined geographic boundaries are crossed. For more information, visit Lear.com.
And we are back. And, of course, everybody who watches the show knows that after we take our quick commercial break, it's time for Dr. Data.
Okay, so this is there's actually a coincidental milestone associated with this number. So, Carmen or Katie, please bring up the clues. So, phone, wallet, keys, clothing, glasses, bag, backpack, vape, e-cigarette, headphones, driver's license. Here are 10 items. They're related in some way to the auto industry collectively. I mean, driver's license, obviously. So what might these 10 objects represent? No, John, you can't tell what's back.
There's
absolutely nothing that is discernible back.
The background is
you're
not
squinting and trying to figure it out.
Sometimes you can see if it's a road or a car or something like that.
I would say that those are the top 10 things that you can find in every car or on every driver in a car.
It's probably true, but wrong.
Yeah, not the vape. Not the,
Diane, any idea what that might be?
They're all designed. No.
You're thinking
something to do with design.
You're thinking too hard.
Yeah, okay.
John?
Yeah, no clue. The vape is throwing me. I'm thinking of connecting the dots between the
All right. Wait, see, okay, yeah. so you're focusing on the vape thing. When you see the answer to this, you'll immediately say, that's why the vape is on the list. So bring up the answer. The 10 most frequently forgotten items in an Uber.
Oh. Wow.
So Uber just celebrated 10 billion trips.
Wow.
10 billion.
That's a lot of trips. But
so most Uber drivers customers are vaping.
Well, or they're losing their vaping devices.
Yeah. And they're recording.
Along with their wallet and their phone.
I think it's driver's license.
How
funny is that? Why would you have your driver's license out?
All the Uber lost there. Found him.
Yeah, but when you're in an Uber, it seemed crazy to me.
Hey, and that's a good segue to talk with John Warniak here. I mean, you represent the performance aftermarket business here. Mm-hmm. What the heck is all this ride sharing going to do to that segment, and especially with autonomous cars?
It's going to add to it. It's going to coexist. Alex Roy, a good friend of mine, says, you know, 0 day is the last day that someone gets in their personal car and drives on a public road. We're 100 years from that. So the cool thing is we're going to coexist. You're still going to have hobbyists, certainly all the stuff going on the concours and all the hobbyists that have vehicles out there. The ride sharing and I think all the other mobility services popping up, that just adds to it. That's like utility.
Okay, Jen,
it has nothing to do with your hobby.
Let's step back here a minute. So you're with SEMA, and if somebody goes to the SEMA show, they're going to say to themselves, I'm at a place where there are people who are truly focused on hot rods and muscle cars and tuning and things like that.
Performance.
And they're going to see tires and they're going to see wheels and they're going to see things that will cause your car to go faster.
Absolutely.
And yet you guys are now talking about autonomous technology. Now, to my mind, these things are poles apart.
It's because different generations. Each generation comes up with what their definition of cool is. So you're seeing that, and they coexist because you got multiple generations there. The best way to summarize SEMA is SEMA makes you smile. Someone's interpretation of what's cool. There are literally, of the 160,000 or so people that come to SEMA and the exhibitors and the 2 million square feet of all the coolest cars you've ever seen on the planet, the show is not for people that like cars. It's for people that love cars. And more importantly, I like to use this almost as a priest, if you will. SEMA is the intersection of cars and car culture. And that's what it is. It's a celebration of the car, particularly the automotive lifestyle. So, yes, the lifestyle will change, but you will still have people that either miss the muscle car era, performance car era, that will definitely want to be part of that and relive it and making their definition of what's cool. This is the 50th anniversary of Mattel Hot Wheels. How many of us had Hot Wheels cars, if that was the first car you had? Pretty darn cool, huh?
Yeah.
They will find a way. There is an entrepreneur, there is some innovator out there like Kyle Vogt or George Hotz that is going to make autonomy cool, and it will be at the SEMA show.
Okay, so you guys did a deep dive study with Ducker Research, and you looked
at Ducker and Carr, Center for Automotive
Research.
Yeah.
And so you basically looked into how autonomous technology would have an effect on your segment of the market. Mm-hmm. And so you guys came up with this number that you think that the automated driving and assistance systems aftermarket is going from $977 million in 2016 to $1.5 billion
That's right,
by 21.
Okay, okay. And that's just passive ADAS systems.
Okay, so explain to me what is aftermarket about that.
Well, I think there's 260 some million cars in the U.S. car park alone, just the U.S. car park. 60 million of those vehicles are basically candidates to be updated, retrofitted with advanced driver assist systems. Basically the passive stuff, lane departure warning, forward collision warning, backup cameras, rear cross traffic alert. Where SEMA really comes in is, let's say you're an off-road enthusiast and you want to you do some rock crawling with your Jeep or whatever the vehicle may be. You can put cameras now under each wheel and watch how you're climbing up where that tire is being planted.
So maybe you don't need a spotter?
Absolutely. And you got that right on your displays, all four wheels. So you're going up in order. Think of towing vehicles, big part of the SEMA industry. You're either taking your car, your bike, your recreation stuff.
Going to a Concours.
Desert, going to the Concours. Backup camera. Literally, there are companies, aftermarket, coming in. So let's say you have a factory-installed camera, but you put the trailer hitch in, and you got your vehicle behind you. Well, the aftermarket camera goes on the back of that vehicle.
Right.
So it switches right over from the factory-installed ADAS to the aftermarket ADAS. And you got the system working and functioning the way you want it to. All sorts of opportunities like that. And I think, as I mentioned, the 60 million vehicles, let's say you've got a vehicle, 2015-16, coming off lease. Your new one has lane departure warning, collision warning, whatever. The one coming off lease doesn't. You want to hand it down to someone in your family. The aftermarket's a great way to actually update that vehicle at almost a quarter of the price of the factory systems, but nonetheless very functional. And again, these are warnings. These are passive. They don't take over control of the vehicle, but they add to the safety performance. And the biggest number you're seeing there, Gary, basically that's an emerging market segment within SEMA, the aftermarket community, that I'm calling safety performance, making safety cool. And people like the Troy Lee Designs and companies like Brand Motion, Auto Motion Alert, which is the first forward aftermarket device. Think of, the chimsel.
Mm-hmm.
Think of a front chimsel that tells you if it's, let's say it's cyan color is what SAE is looking at. If it's got a cyan colored light on the front, it means it's in autonomous mode.
Oh, wow.
Telling pedestrians to look out.
Yeah. Mm. No, that's fantastic. And I think that's going to become an industry standard.
Absolutely. And you got great aftermarket companies like R-Plate, the first digital license plate.
Right.
Think of what it took to do that. And think, and it looks darn cool. I saw one in Old Bachman's shop last week out in
I saw it in California.
Really cool. Yeah. And think, you can put all that stuff in there. So things like AutoMotion Alert, Amber Alerts, you can put right over that digital license plate. That's where the aftermarket comes in because you don't have to wait 24, 36 months to get it onto a production cycle. If it's in the aftermarket, you see it at SEMA, it's in your garage 2 months later.
Okay, so for lane keep assist or lane departure warning, I mean, what is it that someone buys that they put on their car?
A lot of times it's for personalization or customization of the vehicle. Let's say you got lane departure warning and it flashes lights or gives you the haptics or audio signal in your car. Someone says, okay, a SEMA innovator comes and says, what if I just had an LED that is concentric with my side view mirrors that has, I want the color of Diane's jacket. I want the blue in there. Or red, or whatever that color may be. I don't want this obtrusive warning there. I want to see that in my rearview mirrors. That's what SEMA is doing, taking it and personalizing the safety feature or the human driver interface with that ADAS feature.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. And
here we got a question from Kevin Fetty, who wrote in, who said, most any enthusiast is excited to build their own EV performance car. But here's what I find when I plan to build my dream. Lack of components, performance motors, batteries that only come from scrapped Teslas. Number two, difficulty packaging, fitting all the pieces into a car of your choice. And all that said and done, you're only left with a reshaped Tesla. He says, I think modular components are both unique and plentiful, but this would be near impossible for under $60,000. When are they coming? Meaning, when are all the parts and components coming to build a performance electric car?
They're here today. I would recommend he go to autonomousstuff.com, astuff.com. Great company. You want an NVIDIA PX2 computer? You can buy it through Autonomous Stuff. Basically, think of, remember the movie The Fastest Indian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you looked at the opening scene, he's got a big shelf of offerings to the gods of speed, pistons, cranks, everything like that across. Today, fast forward, offerings to the gods of autonomy. You see an NVIDIA computer, you see a Mobileye camera, you see a Conti or a Bosch sensor on that. that's where you go. You go to autonomous stuff, and there are other, I'll call it warehouse distribution companies popping up with these systems. You go to that shelf, you can pull those parts off the shelf, you can get that EV with certain levels of autonomy as well, but you'll get that performance EV.
So there's our hobbyist of the future right there.
Absolutely, you know? And not afraid to do it, particularly with EV. I mean, you know, if you're not paying attention to electric vehicles or autonomy today, you better start. Look what happened at Goodwood. What is it used to tagline? I guess Festival of Speed.
Festival of Speed.
Now Festival of Technology, Festival with their Future Lab. Two great things. The Volkswagen
IDR.
Yeah. Went up Pikes Peak in less than 8 minutes. Record time. Electric. Robo race. Goes on the hill climb. Goodwood. Goes around there. Again, no driver. Is it ready for prime time public racing yet? No way. But again, robo race is all about competing on the algorithms. That's what builders like that are looking at, to build an EV or an autonomous racer. And that is what's going to make cool. I mean, Detroit moving to June 2020, I'll bet we'll see.
Detroit Auto Show.
Detroit Auto Show, right. I think and I call it Detroit Auto Show because I think they're changing the name.
I'll bet they change it to that.
It used to be Detroit Auto Show, so I can go back to that.
What was old new? I mean, we're going to see things like that by then. You mentioned that Mark Royce bringing a 2019 cruise.
I mean, AV.
Yeah, AV. Cruise AV. I mean, again, Kyle Vogt is instrumental in bringing that together, what they've done. They got the coolest thing about that.
Kyle Vogt, for the people at home, is the guy who started Cruise Automation at General Motors.
Oh, yeah, Kyle Vogt. Yeah, Kyle Vogt. All of 30 years old today, maybe 31 pushing it. But again, the kind of technology that STEM and STEAM graduates are attracted to and gets them excited about automotive again.
And don't you think that electrification only complements performance?
Absolutely. And a great, great example there, John, is the difference between electric vehicles like the Volkswagen IDR and electrification. You've got drive-by-wire, brake-by-wire, all sorts of electrification of vehicles continuing. Not as many, you know, market size 3.5%, I think, of all vehicles sold. Yeah. Maybe electric vehicles. But look at the electrification. Try to find a vehicle with a mechanical parking brake. I think they're all electrified now, things of that sort. Yeah. And that just goes as part of that. And that's why I think we'll see the succession of 12 volt and merging into 42 volts to power all these things.
Yeah. Alexander Karabitsis writes in to say, is the SEMA show open to the public? If not, why? And it's not.
That's an annual debate, the SEMA show. It is a trade show, business to business. And buyers and
how many people did you say were attending?
160,000 or so.
Yeah, so trust me, it's like so crowded there as it is.
It's
that
22
if
miles.
You opened it to the public, forget about it.
Yeah. It's 22 miles of everything you don't necessarily need, but everything you want.
Barry Rector, because this segues with it, Barry Rector from Indianapolis writes in, specifically to you, John, auto shows are experiencing declines in manufacturer participation and are making changes to lure them back as well as more attendees. Is SEMA having the same sort of concerns?
The lifestyle is changing, as I mentioned, the intersection of cars and car culture. But to his first question there, the SEMA show is open to the public on Friday afternoon, not the show, but the Battle of the Builders and what we call the SEMA Cruise and SEMA Ignited. So that goes across the street, typically to the Gold Lot across. You know, 400 or so cars come out of the convention center.
This
and
is
go
Las
across
Vegas,
the
by the way, for people who.
Yeah, Las Vegas. Yeah, it's always held in Las Vegas, and this is the 53rd year, I believe. So that's a chance for consumers to come in and see the cars, and they line up 10 deep with bleachers and everything to watch those cars go because they're excited about it, and so are the exhibitors.
But to the point of this question, John, I mean, do you see a change in terms of the demographic of the type of people who have an interest in either the cars or the culture? I mean, are they getting a little more gray? Are they getting a little...
They're actually getting younger. The Battle of the Builders, we're seeing a lot more younger builders getting into it because certainly the vocational aspect of the technology of cars.
So they're 53 then?
Oh, no, young. we're talking much student age, particularly community college, like Washtenaw Community College, great foundation, like Square One Foundation, First Robotics, all those types of kids that gravitate into building their hot rod or maybe a muscle electric or a hot rod hybrid. They see that technology, like Maker Faire going on this weekend. Those are the types of kids that you see attracted to the new, I'll call it the next generation of Battle of the Builders. But they still look up to people like Chip Foose and all the others that are there. Okay. And they want that that magnetism, if you will, of what they did. And again, that's where Hot Wheels comes in because that's there's something that resonates with the car industry with kids. Cars, phones, and computers changed our lives. But, you know.
So you're not worried about the phones and computers sort of taking some of the shine away from the car's part?
Well, two of those can be left in your car, but you have to have a car to
leave. That's true.
Right? An Uber. Only an Uber.
Only your e-cigarette.
But no, not. I think they're merging. I think, you know, you got disruption, you got friction, you got all this really stuff happening, and that those are hallmarks of a new era, and we're seeing that.
Hey, just to segue off this for a moment, our work wrote in, Diane, to say, please post the name of the Concours show and location. He says, Plymouth, Michigan is vague, and where is St. John's? Is there a website where they can go and get all the info?
And it's clumsy, so it's spelled CONCOURSUSA.org.
So ConcoursUSA.org. Yeah. So, and if you want to know, St. John's is what? Roughly 5 mile road.
The Inn at St. John's is at 44045 5 Mile Road in Plymouth, Michigan.
Yeah.
So, and our off-site parking is at 8400 Beck Road at the Plymouth Canton High School because we cannot park all the cars on the St. John's property. So we have a nice air-conditioned bus ride for the folks. If you show an advance ticket at that lot, you will get free advance purchase ticket. You'll get free parking. So tickets right now on our website are $35. And you can buy tickets at the Inn at St. John's at our other events before Sunday. Day of show, tickets are $45. Mm. And you will pay $10 to park, but that money goes to the Plymouth Canton Salem Lightning Robotics team. So we're promoting the youth there. So either way, everybody wins.
So the past serving the future. I like
hopefully that we get these kids over and they look at cars and get involved.
And if they didn't get the web address, all you got to do is Google Concours and you guys come up fairly high on that
on that list.
But your point about the gray hairs or the gray beards, Gary, absolutely, that's part of the industry. And some people say, wish the good old days would come back kind of thing. Well, this is truly the golden age of new performance and mobility. And cars will continue to be works of art. Works of power, works of access, works of fun, certainly works of fashion. And look how that evolves. It didn't put the clothing business out of industry out of business. And that just changes. The point is disruptive technologies that we're seeing in the auto industry that are really cool, I think, they don't totally negate existing technologies. But what they do is they eliminate companies. Don't be one of those companies. Embrace the technology. Go hand in hand to the future.
So what would cause a company to be completely disrupted out of business?
How many carburetor companies do you see out there? Certainly for hobbyist companies, you see a lot of them, like Holley still makes them.
Yeah.
But how many, you know, if you go to your repair shop today, or you go to AutoZone or Pep Boys, you're probably not going to get a carburetor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fuel injection. There's an article I wrote about 7 or 8 years ago now. It said, title was, Does SEMA Have 5 Years Left? Are we going to be regulated out of business with stability control? Mm-hmm. Fuel emissions are going to be so tough. Or are we going to be riding around little butt haulers that have no drivers and that kind of thing? I got more hate mail for that article. But I said, did you read the article? They said, no, I saw the headline. I had to call you.
Oh
I said,
God.
Well, do you know that my boss, Chris Kersting, the CEO of SEMA, we've used that. We took that headline from SEMA News 1971.
Wow.
So it shows you the SEMA members, SEMA community, the innovators, entrepreneurial spirit, find a way.
Wow.
And that's what's so cool about it. You got street smarts and book smarts that come together at SEMA. And that's what makes it so cool. It's what someone's interpretation of cool is. Neil Young, when he was going through the show, and Neil Young and Roger Penske told me never to name drop. So, but I had to say it because Neil had a classic line.
Did Neil drive his Link Volt there?
He did, twice. And he said, basically, an old car can take you to new places.
Mm.
And that's what I think is so profound about what he did with Link Volt. Turned it into an EV. And his first one, 2010, drove it to the show. Beautiful. He had a couple thousand pounds of lithium iron, I-R-O-N batteries, because A123 and some of the other companies wouldn't sell them the batteries at the time. So he had lithium iron batteries from China. He drove it home, and you know, a lot of the SEMA members working with him, companies like AVL and so on, said, you know, Neil, this could use some help, systems integration. He drove it home, burned down.
I remember that.
Yeah, that's right.
Where he was able to salvage the shell, lost some of his amps and guitars in his really famous barn back there in Palo Alto. So 3 years later, he comes back with AVL and E-Axle and built it up even better. And then he tells the story of what I call Son of Link Volt, But Neil told the story again and how AVL has continued. He's got well over 50,000 miles on that.
Wow.
Good for
and
him.
He and Daryl
Hammond
are driving it across Canada, driving it. I mean, literally driving around L.A. You'll probably see Neil driving it today or this weekend. So cool. And what a statement for younger kids, saying what can be, you know, it's basically cool. A hot rod hybrid with, you know,
right.
The equivalent that he has the horsepower in there, mm-hmm. The mileage that he gets, and look how cool it is. And his point where he picked the 59 Lincoln was he wanted the heaviest, biggest car he could find and show that you can electrify and hybridize them.
Mm-hmm. So. Sure.
So and it sort of goes back to that question that we had about, you know, finding the components to build something mm-hmm. up. And
perfect.
You know, well, of course, if Neil probably has the money.
But if Neil can find it, trust me, I'm sure anybody can find it.
Well, he's a very smart guy. He and Ray Brizo isn't built, and a lot of the people he's built that with. Neil's very smart.
He knows how it works. You see young people interested in what you have to show at your concours over the years, or is it like John showing up? Either of them.
We have old people like these too, but we have a lot of young people.
Young people like
No, we do, and you know it's interesting because they'll come there to see the Ferraris and the the red sports cars I call them, but they'll walk by a sculpture like the man's car and say, mm-hmm. Wow, what is that? That is so cool because it looks like a piece of art and they never thought they'd like it. Or they'll hear a steam car or they'll look at something and go, wow, I never realized that was like that. So, just getting there mm-hmm. and then, getting somebody to ride in a car is a totally different experience too. How many times have you taken a person for a ride in your car? Any of us that have any kind of like, I'll call it collector car or a fun mm-hmm. car. And they go, this is so fun. I want one of these. Yep. I get more looks, people riding in my car get more looks in my 32 Ford hot rod than the people next to us in a Corvette, but it's just fun. Mm. Yeah.
Yep. There's that fun element for sure.
And I'm excited about the auto show coming to June. I think that's going to be a good move. We're really delighted at the Concours. We have Hyundai bringing their La Fille Rouge, their concept car that was shown in Geneva.
This will be the first time in the U.S.
First time in the U.S. Oh. So Sang-Yep Lee, their VP of Global Design, will be on site on Saturday telling folks about the mm-hmm. car. So.
Yeah, we had hoped to get him on this show, but he's not coming into town.
He'll be
early
in Friday night,
today's show.
Yeah, so that is an honor to have that car on the field. I like the name, La Fille Rouge, and it means sensuous sportiness. I like saying that. The car is beautiful. It's stunning. So.
Well, what's so interesting in that design is it's pure shape. It's mm-hmm. the shape that defines the styling of the car. There's not all these creases and, it's just pure shape
It is sensuous sportiness. Just remember that. It's
beautiful. I think with the Detroit show moving to June, it'll be week, if not weeks, of a festival.
Is this it here?
That's it.
La Fille Rouge.
Isn't that beautiful?
You can see. I mean, there's some bone lines and stuff, but, mm-hmm. If you see it even from a farther distance, it's just pure shape that defines the car.
Classics.
And did you go to Geneva? I was not in Geneva, I'm excited to see it for real. Mm-hmm. They're putting out some great products, so that's fun to have these concept cars here. And I think we'll see more of that. I mean, our event is held at the end of July. Eyes mm-hmm. on Design is in June. So, mm-hmm. What's this going to be in 2020? I think they're with the Grand Prix with everything going on. I think there is 3 weeks of opportunity for people to experience a lot of automotive events in Detroit.
Oh, yeah, you can mash together the Detroit Grand Prix. You can mash together cars from the first Detroit Auto Show, and kind of like you do with the concourse. You can certainly bring together all sorts of the technology displays and demonstrations outside on the Cobo roof.
Sure.
And connect. You can basically take the Goodwood, you can take CES and SEMA, mash them together and create the reinvention of Detroit Auto Show 4.0.
We're flat, so how are we going to go up a hill like Goodwood?
Well, there's Mount Clemens.
It's a rhetorical hill.
For those of you watching, that's a town.
Awesome team of folks, they'll find a way.
She'll be here all week.
They do have actually bumper stickers that say, I climb Mount Clemens, and they do have an event, a car event in Mount Clemens. That's the Mount Clemens Hill Climb.
I raced the Soapbox Derby 1968 at Mount Elliott.
There you go.
And it had to be 200 feet high, that hill there. So.
Yeah.
That's great. Hey, we've got a few more people who have written in here. Levante A says, I'd be pleased to see if there's any sobs at the concours.
Oh, my gosh, Gary.
He says, I'll bring mine.
We got to get Dr. Data in. Right. I apologize because we have
another question, and I'll see if I can find
one. Dr. Data's working on that one.
SubGR77 wants to know, does the concours have a survivor class?
We,
and I'm not even sure what that is.
Yeah, what is that?
we refer to it as a preservation class. So you can bring a car on the field that is not restored.
That's what mine is, not restored. Mm-hmm. But it's in awfully good condition. For
you could nominate it.
Okay.
And so we do have a preservation class, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good. Extreme Ways wrote back to say about the electronic license plate, yeah, wait until people start hacking them China.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Yep. And think what the R plate had to go through to get that put on vehicles. I think 5 states, it's legal now.
Yeah, and law enforcement had to approve
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's what's so cool about the aftermarket. Maybe get a waiver, maybe get an exemption, maybe get
an example of that.
Yeah, to put it on.
Plate.
But the point is, you can't stop the innovation, the disruption. I mean, the license plate hasn't been innovated since the first
came
out. Yeah, 100. So, what do you got this coming out?
It's got a little battery in there.
It was porcelain.
Oh, it runs right off the harness on board the vehicle.
Yeah.
And think of how you become basically, a traditional plate to a smart plate. And think of the things that you can actually convey with a smart plate from an ADAS solution, from, as you mentioned, forward rear chimsels, et cetera.
What's the name of the company again?
R-Plate.
Yeah,
R-Plate.
Okay.
Okay.
So anyway, I remember interviewing them at NADA, and they were mm-hmm. saying mm-hmm. The state of California really wants this because I don't remember the exact number, but because it would not have to make all these metal plates every single year and make zillions of
them. I mean,
they're going to save millions of dollars at the DMV.
Yep. And the point about hacking and all, certainly all that's there. Cybersecurity, everything. The only way to save that is to take one of those R plates or your computer or your phone and bury it 6 inches deep, turn it off, and take the batteries out. So. Mm-hmm. But it's gone. People will find a way.
And put a tinfoil hat on your head.
There you go. Yeah. First, that's your key fob, and then put that on your head, right?
It's going to put a lot of prisoners out of business, though. That's the only thing.
I was thinking about that. Yeah. You got a lot of prisons in California. Yeah. No sobs at your show, though.
Yeah. No sobs. Sorry. Nominate one. If you have an awesome mm-hmm. sob, nominate it for 2019.
Mm-hmm. Real good. Well, look, we've burned up an hour here. Probably
wow.
a good
really?
Time.
Really?
Wow. I know. It went by quick.
We could go on.
This was excellent.
Good.
But Diane Schneider, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, John.
And telling us all about the Concours coming up this weekend.
Thanks. CLB.
John Warniak, great having you on the show.
It's an honor.
Always cool to hear that performance is going strong and the future looks mm-hmm. bright.
Very much, yeah. Got to wear your shades.
Yeah. And Gary, we're going to have to do this kind of a show again next week.
Why don't we try that?
We'll give it some thought.
All right.
Okay.
Cool.
Of course, we want to thank all of you for having tuned in.
Auto Line After Hours is brought to you by Bridgestone Tires, your journey, our passion, and by Lear, a global leader in automotive seating and electrical systems.
Visit our website, autoline.tv, where you can watch us live Thursday afternoons. Get your daily fix with Autoline Daily and in-depth analysis and interviews with Autoline This Week. There's all that and much more at autoline.tv.